Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a brand new ESV Bible. But first, here's Dr. Graham with his message, God is for us.
We're beginning a message series on Christmas called The Gift. God is for us. God is with us. God is in us. So our focus today, God is for us. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, there it is, God is for you. For your sake, he became poor, so that by your poverty, or by his poverty rather, you might become rich. Now, of course, this verse stands alone, but it is in the midst of other verses, a passage of Scripture, which the Apostle Paul is inviting Christians to participate in an offering to the poor Christians back in Jerusalem. And so he is inviting, motivating the Christians at Corinth, and all of us, therefore, as believers in Christ, to give generously to the cause of Christ, to advance the work of Jesus. It is, in effect, a mission offering. And in the midst of this motivation for giving, Paul selects first some Christians at Macedonia who were wonderful examples of generous giving out of their poverty. They gave and gave generously and sacrificially. The apostle chooses them as an example to us. But then he begins to talk about Jesus and says, Jesus is the perfect example of this truth about giving, this truth about grace. And therefore he says, he who was rich became poor, that we who were poor might become rich in him. This is the story of Christmas, that God left heaven and came to earth, that he stepped out of eternity and into time. It is the ultimate riches to rags story, that God became a son of man, the sons among the sons of man, that we might become the sons of God. And when you speak of a love that gives, a grace that gives, there's no greater example than what Christ has done for us. There are incredible stories in human history, including our own times of sacrifice and generosity, human stories that prevail upon our hearts. But there's no story like the story of Jesus and his grace and his giving to us. I never tire of telling this story. It never gets old to me. This grace of God which has come to us in order that we might be made rich in him. Jesus wants to make you rich. Rich in grace. The eternal riches. The true riches. Those things that when you add them up, money can't buy. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants you to live an abundant life. And this verse tells us how we can be made rich in him, that we might in our own wealth return the blessing. Well, first by receiving this gift. Look at it again. Verse 9, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you see the full title of incarnate God. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Master and King. He is Jesus. The angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is his title of Savior. And he is Christ. Jesus Christ is not the last name of Jesus, but rather is his messianic title. He is Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so when you read here, for by this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his name, his very name, describes who he is and why he came. If I only had four words to speak to the entire world, it would be these four words: Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. That's the message. And it is in his name that we are saved, and his name that we proclaim, because his name, therefore, having accomplished his ministry and in mission on earth, is now proclaimed to the ends of the age. Philippians 2 verse 9 says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you know this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know personally, experientially, this grace. There's so many people who know about this story, who know about this God, who hear about this Savior, who do not know him and experience his grace. You know by personal experience the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord, Savior, the Anointed One, the Messiah. He was rich. When we speak of his riches, we're talking about his eternal worth, his eternal value and glory. Jesus is eternal God. This is the central message of the Bible, that God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. God, in these last days, says the writer of Hebrews, has spoken to us in his Son. Finally, fully, and forever, God has revealed himself in Christ. Jesus is eternal God. Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem. He was born at Bethlehem, a man. But Jesus is eternally, essentially God. He became incarnate, wrapped in flesh at Bethlehem, but is forever, now and forever, co-equal, co-eternal with God the Father and God the Son. When Isaiah the prophet was predicting his arrival on earth, he said his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. The everlasting Father is one and the same, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is rich. He is God. Always has been God. Always will be God. It's not even that he is pre-incarnate to God or predictive of God, but rather forever God. It's not enough to say that Jesus existed before Bethlehem. He existed before time began. He is eternal God. He never did not exist. This is the heart of who he is. He was rich, indescribably, in his person, his position, his power, his possessions, but he became poor. This speaks of his humility, his humanity. He became poor. Given the choice, hardly any among us would choose poverty over wealth. So when it says, God in Christ, Jesus, who was rich, became poor, the word there means he chose to be poor. Most poor people are poor not by choice, but by circumstances. But Jesus, his poverty was not dictated by his circumstances, but by his own choice. He who was rich became poor. Again, the scripture puts it this way in Philippians 2, but he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, that's the choice, to the point of death, even a death on the cross. He chose this poverty and position. He became poor. He voluntarily chose to become one of us for your sakes. God is for you. So many people have the attitude, for whatever reason, that God is against them. But God sent His Son Jesus into the world because He is for you. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world could be saved.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, God is for us. Pastor, this month we have a special gift for our listeners who give a gift to PowerPoint. It's a brand new ESV Bible.
Christmas is God's love story. It's a story of hope, of light, of life, and yes, the story of love. That's why this Christmas I am so thrilled to share that for this month of December, when you give to help proclaim the message of Jesus on radio, television, and internet, it will be doubled by a matching grant. So today, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider giving a gift to help share the hope of Christmas, the love of Jesus, with more people around the world through PowerPoint. To say thank you for your gift, I'm excited to send you a beautiful English Standard Version Bible, along with a helpful resource, my booklet called Lifebook. My prayer is that these help you grow in God's Word, and at this special season, as we celebrate the coming of Christ into the world, that we can get the message of Jesus out there till the whole world hears.
Call today and get your brand new ESV Bible as our thank you for your gift. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Or text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. Now let's get back to today's message. God is for us.
In 1646, the Dutch artist Rembrandt created a painting called The Adoration of the Shepherd. And it depicts the vision of what it was like for shepherds to see the baby Jesus. Now, the painting is dark because it's a night scene inside a barn or a cave. And so because it's so dark, it forces you to look very carefully at each of the images in the painting. Of course, there in the midst is Jesus, the baby. Mary is by his side. Joseph is standing nearby. The shepherds have brought the sheep with them inside the barn or inside the cave, because this is where Jesus was born. It was a cattle trough. He was laid in a manger. He laid down aside his throne and was born laid in a cattle trough. He laid aside his crown and was laid in a crib. So the shepherds get nearer and nearer. And if you look very carefully, you will see a rickety ladder. And it is leaning up against a crossbeam. And there nearby is a rooster. And it soon hits you that this ladder and this crossbeam make the dim outline of a cross. And the rooster, Rembrandt painted the rooster as a symbol of a betrayal that would come in the future. So even in this joyous moment, the cross looms large over the life of the baby Jesus. Even then, Jesus was born under the shadow of his mission, which was the cross, becoming obedient, even death on a cross. But here's something interesting about this painting. Unlike other Renaissance artists, Rembrandt didn't paint Jesus as like a little baby angel with a halo. You've seen these pictures of Jesus, little baby Jesus, like a little angel with a little halo. Rembrandt painted him as a normal, very human baby. And everything around him is dark except for the baby in the manger. And there you see that the light isn't shining on the baby, but from the baby. This was Rembrandt's way of saying that all hope and all light shines from the manger, because Jesus is the light of the world. All light, all love comes from him. And Jesus is born, lighting up a darkened world. The Christmas carol says it well. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face with the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. The gift is Jesus. Is there any hope in the world? We live in a world filled with terrorism and fears and uncertainties. Is there any hope? Yes, hope invaded the world 2,000 years ago. The light of God's love has come. And if we want to discover this hope in a dark world today, we need to do what the shepherds did. And that is to bow before the Savior and Lord of all. He came to a broken world darkened by sin because that is where we are. He left the light of glory. The old hymn put it, out of the ivory palaces and into a world of woe. Jesus came, and he came fully knowing his destiny. God speaks in Hebrews 10, behold, I've come to do your will, O God. Jesus said, I've come to do your will, including the mission of the cross. He was born to a destiny, and that destiny was to die on the cross for our sins, to rise again on the third day. No other human being can say that I know my destiny. You know, we pray for our children and our grandchildren that they would fulfill God's will and purpose for their lives. We have plans for them and prayers for them, and you know, it always doesn't work out, right? I mean, you plan for your child to take on the family business and they choose another business. You plan on your children doing a certain thing with their lives, and sometimes they do a certain other thing. But one child was born into this world whose planned destiny is purposed destiny given by God the Father. He fulfilled Jesus Christ. So we see his deity, we see his humanity, which produced his humility. When you travel with me to the lands of the Bible, whether it's on the Journeys of Paul excursion or to Israel, but when we go to Jerusalem is the Church of the Nativity. And Catherine the Great came on an excursion in about the 2nd century and discovered some of these places near to the time that the events actually happened, of course, where Jesus was born, where Jesus died. And this is the Church of the Nativity, which was built many centuries ago over the place that Catherine the Great found and said, this is the birthplace of Christ. And we always go there in Bethlehem and we see this place. But there's something interesting about getting in the door to the Church of the Nativity. You have to stoop down and go under through a very small door. You know why that small door is there? Because once the church was built many, many, many years ago, some of the aristocrats of the city, some of the arrogant leaders of the city would ride their horses into the church. The priest said, that's not a good idea. We can fix that. And so they reduced the door down to that size where these guys had to get off their high horse and humble themselves to get into the place where Jesus was born. You see, God doesn't run with the rebellious. He doesn't do business with the arrogant, but rather to those who are poor in spirit, to those who lean into brokenness. He came for the hurting, the tired, the grieving, the lonely, those who are bankrupted by sin, broken in life. And when we break, when we bend down and worship him, when we give up our stuff and follow him, that's when we find him. It all begins at the manger. There's one final thing I want to say briefly. Receive the gift of Jesus Christ by humbling yourself and receiving him into your life, but then re-gift the gift. Now, you know what a re-gift is, right? Now, don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Surely you've done this, right? But a re-gift, you get something, it doesn't fit or you don't like it. So you say, I know, I'll wrap this up and give it to a friend. We have something to re-gift that is not something we're discarding, but something we love very much. And that something is a someone who came to the world because he came to us. We want him to be known around the world. To India, to Iraq. You know, there's so much trouble in the Middle East, and we look at the terror in Iraq and the fears regarding Iran and all of that. And we wonder, yes, Jesus came for the Iraqi people, for the Muslim people, that they would be saved. He came for Israel. The power of the gospel is for the Jew first and also to the Greek, to China, to the African nations and countries and peoples, billions that you've never heard of. He didn't come for just one group or one language. He came for all. He's not the American Jesus. He's the Jesus who came to the world. And therefore, it becomes our motivation to get this gospel of grace, of salvation to the world. It's our joy now to help people unwrap the gift and receive Jesus into their lives. In fact, as I was mentioning earlier, this passage, he who was rich became poor, that we who were poor could become rich. And now we're rich in him. We have received riches of his grace, and we have received salvation and the forgiveness of sin, and we have peace in our lives, and we have a purpose. We have a reason for living. All these riches, we have eternity ahead of us with him. And so we want others to know, but all of that was written in the context of stewardship, of giving. You're in 2 Corinthians 8. Look a few verses over. 2 Corinthians 9:11. It says, you will be enriched. Here's how we're enriched. You want to get rich this Christmas? Yeah, I'm in. Okay. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way. God has blessed us that we might bless others, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God, praise to God. So our giving is a result of this grace. Why do you give what you give? You should never give because of guilt. We don't give out of guilt. We give because of grace. Not because we're pressured or manipulated or pushed to give. Because we give out of generosity and gratitude in our hearts. Because of what Christ has done for us, we have been so highly favored and blessed. Therefore, we want to invest in those things which matter, the eternal riches. Don't change or exchange that which is temporal for what God has made eternal. Limit the spending on yourself and invest in the things that matter. Give your family the things that money can't buy. And by all means, don't get yourself in debt this Christmas just trying to keep up because of the pressure to give all of these gifts that you can't afford. Let Jesus be first. Allow him to be the Lord of your life. Give your time to minister the love of Jesus and serving him. Give your talents, give your treasure, give it back. Focus on Jesus. Play Christmas music all the time, anytime. Let Jesus be exalted. Read God's word. Open up an Advent devotional. There are many of them today, online and otherwise. Pick up a devotional and read daily of the coming of the King into the world. Devote yourself to know Jesus more and more and more this Christmas. Re-gift the gift. Give it away. Give it away by telling somebody about him.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, God is for us. Do you ever wonder if the Bible is really relevant or maybe even accurate? Dr. Jack Graham wants to help you settle those doubts and any other questions you may have about Scripture by sending you his booklet, Lifebook. It's our gift to you, along with your own ESV Bible, to say thanks for your donation to help impact more lives with the gospel. And the best part is that your generous gift today will be doubled by an amazing $200,000 matching grant. So please call now to take full advantage of this exciting opportunity. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Well, there's no question about it. The greatest gift is Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came into this world to forgive us our sins, to give us eternal life and a hope and a future with Him. His life lasts. You know, money doesn't last. That new car that we drive doesn't last. The house we live in, not even that will last. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you have a lot or a little, your time on earth is very short. And that's why you need to know that not only do you have life here and now, but life forever in Christ. The only thing that's going to truly last forever is the gift of life in the love of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus is the greatest gift. When you by faith receive God's gift by repenting of your sin, receiving Christ into your life, then you have the sure confidence, the promise of God's word, that this life will never be taken away, that His love lasts forever. This gift also gives us hope forever. Wherever you are right now, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never trusted Him and opened the gift and received eternal life, then simply invite Christ into your life. Pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to earth, the greatest gift of all. And I pray that you would be my Savior, my Lord. I invite you to come into my life to forgive my sins and to give me a hope and a future in heaven with you. I do believe. I now receive you, Jesus, into my life. Now, if you pray and receive Christ, then I promise you the gift of eternal life is yours, not because I said it, but because God says it. Here's what the Scripture says. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This eternal life is yours right now, today, tomorrow, and forever.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you an ESV Bible and Dr. Graham's booklet, Lifebook, to say thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. Well, join us again next time. Dr. Graham brings a message about the joy of God's presence in your life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.